Hi, everybody. I'm Clay Smith, the lead pastor at Alice Drive Baptist Church in Sumter, South Carolina. Thanks for joining us for virtual worship today. I know that many of you heard the announcement earlier. We are going to regather in physical worship in a couple of weeks on May 31st, Skate Station for Pacala Campus and here at the Loring Mill Campus. And we'll do so with social distancing, disinfecting the rooms between services. So I'm glad we're going to have that opportunity to regather. But before we get into the message today, I want us to take just a moment and continue to pray. We've done this every Sunday, asking God to guide our leaders and guide those who care for those who are sick. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for seeing us through this coronavirus so far. We know we still have a long way to go. I do pray for those who are suffering, for those who care for them, that you would give the caregiver strength and that you would protect them. And I pray, God, for our leaders, for our president, our governor. I pray for our mayor, our county and city council. God, that you would lead and guide them as they must make decisions about economy and about health and about timing. God, your wisdom is needed. May they hear and may you provide. Now bless us as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in a message series entitled Body and Soul, and this series is all about how taking care of your soul means taking care of your body. You cannot have a healthy soul unless you have as healthy a body as possible. That's the big idea for this series, that you can't have a healthy soul unless you have as healthy a body as possible. Now, just a reminder, you are a soul. It's not that you have a soul, and your body is part of that complex piece of life. So you have a heart where you make decisions. You have a mind where you sort out thoughts and feelings. You have relationships, and you have a body where you have appetites, desires, energy. It is your transportation method throughout this physical world. But what happens when your body suffers? That's what we're going to talk about today. If you are hammering a nail into the wall and you miss the nail and hit your thumb with the hammer, something amazing happens. At the end of nerve cells right below your skin, there is a nerve receptor that registers pain, and it sends an electrical impulse up the nervous system, and then it connects to a neuroaxon. That then joins to your spinal column. Those nerves go up to your brain and they reach the thalamus. And the thalamus is sort of the information exchange part of your brain. And there's part of your brain that very quickly sends a message back down that something needs to be done. Your physical reaction actually is faster than your thought reaction. And this part of your brain is called the somatosensory cortex. And it tells your body, hey, the thumb hurts. Drop the hammer. Grab the thumb in case it's bleeding. And you do that without even thinking. Meanwhile, the brain is sending on another message to your frontal cortex where you form thoughts and you begin to think of a word that describes how you're feeling. And so a word flies out of your mouth. And I know that phrase that flies out of your mouth is something like, bless the Lord, O my soul. Or maybe you're like my stepfather. His favorite phrase whenever he accidentally hurt himself was, well, kiss my foot. At the same time, there's a message going to your limbic system where you process emotions and you may feel angry at the hammer, which doesn't make any sense, angry at yourself, which sort of makes sense, or you may feel embarrassed because you're around a bunch of people who now are looking at you and you think, well, maybe they're judging me because I don't even know how to hammer a nail into the wall. All of this is happening faster than you can think. No matter how fast you think, no matter how amazing this is that your body can register pain, it still hurts. Even if you know why your body hurts, you hit your thumb with a hammer, still hurts. Even though you may marvel at how God has designed you and you've learned something, how to hold the nail better next time, still hurts. You see, one of the key ideas that we need to wrap our minds around is really the big idea for this message, and that is pain can feel the same but have a different source. Pain can feel the same but have a different source, and the source of our pain determines our response. So what I want to do today is actually dive in and figure out where does pain come from in our bodies when our bodies suffer, and then how do we respond? And if you're a Jesus follower, the good news is the Bible understands this. The Bible knows that you're going to experience physical pain, and it coaches us about how to respond to that pain. Now, if you're not a believer, I'm really glad that you're tuned in, and this may help you better understand how Christians think about pain, and maybe even consider for yourself if Jesus has something to teach you. So let's start. There are five different sources of pain we want to talk about this morning. The first source of pain happens when you suffer and it's your fault. You suffer because you inflicted pain on your own body. Now, how does this happen? Well, there's a delay usually between unhealthy habits and results. Your first cigarette doesn't give you cancer. The three leading causes of preventable death in the United States are smoking, use of tobacco, 400,000 people a year die of that, obesity, 300,000 people a year die of obesity, and alcohol abuse, about 90,000 people die a year of alcohol abuse. Take that together, that's almost 800,000 people whose deaths could be prevented if they simply took care of their health. Why is it so hard? Again, there's a delayed reaction. We think about, well, you know, I would have to do something to actually be healthy. And the truth is, most of us find the way to take care of our bodies as easy. We prefer the easier way than the harder way. So if you have damaged your body, if you know that you're suffering pain and it's because you haven't taken care of yourself, does God give up on you? Absolutely not. If you are suffering and because you inflicted pain on your body, ask God for mercy. Ask God for mercy. Our God is a merciful God, and He wants to give you mercy. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." The word mercy means compassion. It means pity. It means clemency. It is asking God to spare you from pain, even pain you've caused yourself. This is a challenge for Americans because we like to be self-sufficient. Now, you might remember last week we talked about how your body craves blessing. All healing comes from God, no matter its source. And so you might need to be healed from your suffering through medicine. That's God's mercy. Or maybe God will supernaturally do that in a moment, or maybe over time. But all healing comes from God. So ask God for healing. Ask God for mercy. Ask people to pray for you. Be willing to be anointed with oil. When you suffer and you know it is your own fault, ask God for mercy. Now, the second source of suffering we want to talk about is suffering that you inflict on your own body, but you do it for a good reason. Suffering that you inflict on your own body, but you do it for a good reason. Harry Truman was the 33rd president of the United States. And every morning he got up, walked 5 miles, did sit-ups and push-ups. And when asked by a reporter why he did that physical workout, he said, "A man in my position can't afford to be unhealthy." What about a person in your position? Can you really afford to be unhealthy? Now, let's be clear. This is hard. It's hard to do the things that keep your body healthy. This is why dieting is hard, right? Because you're giving up something now in hope for a better result later. And all those ads that tell you, try this diet. You can eat as much as you want. You won't be hungry. And you can eat whatever you want. All those ads are lies. Because dieting is hard. Exercise is hard. You're asking your body to do something it's not accustomed to doing. If you do these things, though, if you diet, if you exercise, you're expecting it to be hard, but you're hoping for a better tomorrow. Effort today means a better tomorrow. Effort today means a better tomorrow. And here's a hard truth that you don't want to deal with, and I don't want to deal with either. Someone is looking to you as an example of how to take care of your body, especially in families. I was in a store, and there was a woman who was overweight, and she had with her who I presume to be her four daughters. The oldest was about 16. All four of the girls were overweight. And I looked into the woman's buggy, just curious, and I saw five big boxes, 48-count boxes of Pop-Tarts. And there were about four or five trays of cinnamon rolls, the kind with frosting on the top. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Clay, maybe they were just buying groceries for a church retreat. Maybe. Or it could be that they were trading carbs and convenience today for weight issues and arthritis tomorrow. Maybe those girls were picking up some clues from their mom. This is how to treat your body. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He said, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. To strike a blow means to hit yourself in the eye. We might say, beat yourself black and blue. Paul is saying, I want to make my body my slave so it does what I want it to do. Now, why is Paul so hung up about this? Because he knows people are looking at him as an example. Now, you do have to do what is healthy for you to do. But what is healthy for one person may not be healthy for another. I've got a friend. He can eat anything. He never gains weight. Some of us, all we have to do is just sniff something and we put on a pound. And so here's what you need to keep in mind. Your body should serve your soul, not the other way around. Your soul should not serve your body. Say this again. Your body should serve your soul, not your soul serve your body. So which way is it for you? Is your soul more about serving your body, or do you make your body suffer for a good reason so it can serve your soul? Let's talk about the third source of suffering. The third source of suffering is suffering inflicted on your body by someone else. Now, sometimes this is for your own good. We all know this. A child getting a shot doesn't believe that's for their own good, but it is. You go to physical therapy, it still hurts, but it's for your own good. Somebody is doing that to you. But oftentimes, people must suffer because of someone else's sinfulness. This is a picture, a before and after picture of a man named Howard Boone Jr. The left is Howard as a college junior, 23 years old. He attended college up in Raleigh, North Carolina. And he came down to Columbia, South Carolina for a fraternity meeting. And right around St. Patrick's Day 2018, he and some of his fraternity brothers went out to a nightclub region called Five Points. A car pulled up and sprayed random gunfire into the crowd. Howard Boone was struck in the back of his neck. He is now permanently paralyzed neck down. He is on a ventilator 24 hours a day, and he must get around with a motorized wheelchair. Now you might say, well, see, he shouldn't have been out that late at night. He shouldn't have been in that place. I just want to say to you that no matter what Howard Boone was doing, no one deserves to be paralyzed by someone else's sinfulness. No one. Now, this happens all over the world. People are in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some of you have seen civilians suffer in a war. That's a horrible thing. And yet others see regularly violence done, sometimes even in families, done by people that are known to other people. When I read the book My Losing Season by Pat Conroy, I was startled, stunned by the violence done to Pat and to his family by their father, who made no apologies. You see, when somebody commits that kind of violence, they have to seal off a part of their souls to do it. And many times they'll end up blaming their victim. They'll say, well, you made me do this. If you hadn't made me so angry, I wouldn't have hit you. If you hadn't failed me, if you'd performed better, then you wouldn't deserve this punishment. I just want to tell you that all those messages are false. Those are lies from the depths of hell itself. And if you are in one of those positions where you are being abused or you're in a toxic relationship, I want to tell you, you need to get out of that relationship, get to a safe place, and begin processing what happened to you. And I want to encourage all of us who have power to be very wise in how we apply it so we do not cause people to suffer bodily. Now, that means every one of us who has a gun has to realize we own a lethal weapon. That gun could kill somebody. And so I plead with you, be responsible. Most of you are. But make sure a child can't get to that. Make sure you never point a gun at someone else. Another human being. When I was 4 years old, I pointed my toy gun at a lady who helped my mother in our home. And Bert Calder knocked that gun out of my hand and said, don't you ever point a gun at somebody. That lesson stuck. I hope it'll stick with you. So what do you do if you suffer because somebody else has inflicted pain on your body? Well, what you need to do is something very difficult, and I won't pretend otherwise. If your body suffers because harm has been inflicted on you, forgive. Forgive. Now, that doesn't mean you stay in the abusive relationship. It doesn't mean that you have to stay in a toxic marriage. It means that you seek to forgive that person who harmed you. Why? Because when you don't forgive, it carries emotional weight. It can turn into bitterness. Bitterness attacks your soul from the inside out. Holding a grudge, desiring revenge, destroys you. So this is what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. To bear with someone means that you seek to understand why they do what they do. And you'll probably come to the conclusion it's because there's something broken in their soul. Because there is. They may even have a mental illness. Understanding why people hurt you is a step in the forgiveness process. To forgive means that you release, you let go of, and that you want good for that person. Even the person who harmed you, you want God to do something good for them, to save them, to change them. Because I promise you this, people who inflict pain at the core of their being are not happy people. You see, what forgiveness does is it releases you. Forgiveness means a person's woundedness no longer controls you. Now, forgiveness is a journey. It's a process. You may need help guiding you through the process. You may need some 3 a.m. friends, somebody you can talk to at 3 o'clock in the morning just about your pain, the pain that was done to you that's left a mark inside and outside. It may mean that you need to be in a support group, a life group even, where there are people who can listen to your story and encourage you. You might need to walk alongside a counselor. Here's what I know, though. Our Heavenly Father is present for you and wants to walk with you as you go through the forgiveness journey. If you suffer bodily because someone has hurt you, forgive them. Now let's talk about the fourth source of suffering. The fourth source of suffering is the most difficult. It's what happens when you suffer and you don't know why. Suffering is inflicted on your body and you don't know why. You don't know why you came down with this disease. It doesn't run in your family. You don't know why you got cancer when you never smoked a day in your life. You don't know why you have heart disease and you eat healthy and exercise. Sometimes the question gets framed like this: why do bad things happen to good people? I wish I knew. There's actually a whole book in the Bible about this. It's the book of Job. You might remember that Job starts out as a very wealthy man. He's got the perfect family. But then very quickly, he loses all of his wealth. He loses all 10 of his children. And he loses his health. He's afflicted with a disease that causes him chronic pain. Now, if you read the book, you know this is because God and Satan have had a conversation. And Satan has challenged God. But Job doesn't know that. Job doesn't know why he is suffering. And he says, I wish I'd never been born. He's got some friends there to comfort him. And as long as they keep their mouth shut, they're pretty comforting. But they start talking and they try to tell Job that he deserves this suffering. It's for something that he did that he's suffering. And Job says, no, that's not it at all. I haven't done anything to deserve this. And the whole book builds to chapter 31, where Job finally has had enough. And listen to what he says in verse 35 of chapter 31. Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. That is a courageous prayer. That's a dangerous prayer. You see, Job is saying, God, I want some answers. I want an encounter with you. God, I want you to come to court and answer me. Let me cross-examine you. See, when we suffer, it's always easier to blame God than to seek God. Now, as the story plays out, God shows up. He roars out to Job from a thunderstorm. And he challenges Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And Job can't answer. He doesn't know. But at the end of the book, Job says something that's very profound. He said, I'd heard of God, but now I see him. You see, what Job needed was not to know why he suffered. What he needed was an encounter with the living God. And if you are suffering and you don't know why, seek God. Be brave enough and courageous enough to say, God, I want to meet you. I don't care what it's going to be like. I need to have a vital spiritual experience with you. And God, I'm going to keep seeking you until I get it. When your body suffers and you don't know why, seek God. Ask him the hard questions. Bring to God your messiness. Keep asking until the wind starts to blow and God starts to speak. Now, there's one last source of suffering we need to address. And this is the suffering that you inflict on your body yourself, but you do it for a cause. Suffering you inflict on your body for a cause. What are you willing to suffer for? I was talking to a friend of mine who has served in the military. He has PTSD. And I asked him once, I said, what is that like for you? He said, well, it's not fun. He said, I get jumpy and things make me nervous and sometimes I don't even want to leave my house. But he said, I know this was part of the price I was willing to pay to serve my country. He knew what he was willing to suffer for. For Jesus' followers, we are told to suffer for the cause of Christ. This is what we're called to do. You see, we have offered our souls to God and our body is part of our soul. The Apostle Paul had great insight into this. This is what he wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. What shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to part and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. What is Paul talking about? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Well, Paul took a very clear picture of his life and he realized, hey, if I die, that's all to the plus side of the ledger. I will benefit. Life with Jesus in heaven will be 1,000 times 1,000 better than life here on earth. But, Paul said, if I'm here on earth, I'm here for a reason. And that reason is to honor Jesus Christ with my body, with my whole soul. That's why he says to the Philippians, hey, it's better for you that I stay here. I can still teach you. I can still communicate with you. I can still support and encourage you. Now, I want to acknowledge that I fall far short of this. I try to think about the days that I actually live for Jesus. And if I work really hard on those days, maybe I get it right 40, 50% of the time. It's tough. I wonder what would happen if I could have a day or two or three where I lived for Christ. See, I have to ask myself, is my prayer, Heavenly Father, I am willing to live for Jesus even if it means my body suffers. Are you brave enough to pray that kind of prayer? You know, there have been people brave enough to do this. Not just pray it, but do it. Stephen was stoned for following Jesus. James, the brother of John, had his head cut off because he was a disciple of Jesus. Peter was crucified upside down because he preached Jesus. A man named Polycarp was 84 years old and burned alive at the stake because he refused to renounce Jesus and declare that Caesar was Lord. A man named Antipas was slow roasted over a fire like a barbecue because he believed in Jesus. And these are not just tales from the time of the Bible and just after. In 1596, 21 Christians were crucified in Japan because they believed in Jesus. Not too long ago, November 16th, 1989, six Jesuit priests, their housekeeper and their housekeeper's daughter, were put to death by the El Salvadorian army because they preached Jesus and they said Jesus had come to set the captives free. That so threatened the army, they killed those priests, the housekeeper and the housekeeper's daughter. Even today in India, there are Christians who have their electricity cut off, their water cut off, because they are Christians. In places like Nigeria, Christians are often killed because they believe. We dare not trivialize the suffering of our brothers and sisters that is going on right now by wasting our time arguing about stupid things that don't matter. The main argument we should be having is with ourselves. Am I willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ? Now, if you're not a believer, I hope this message today really has helped you. understand a little bit more about what Christians think of suffering. Maybe even consider that Jesus' way might be worth it. But if you're a Jesus follower like me, this isn't optional. We're called to give our souls to Christ, to follow Him, even to suffer for Him. So I've tried to think about this week. What would my day be like? One day this week, if I said, I want to live this one day for Christ. I want to live this one day for my leader, my Lord, my Savior, my friend. For me to live this day is Christ. I wonder what that day would be like for me and for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you teach us how to suffer. I pray, God, for those who need mercy from you, that they would receive it. I pray that I would receive mercy from you. Because I've not always been the best steward of my body. God, give us the courage to do the things we need to do to take care of our bodies so that our bodies serve our souls. Help us forgive those who've hurt us. Father, when we don't know why, I pray that we would seek you, seek an encounter with you. I pray, God, for help to be courageous enough to live every day for Christ. And Father, for those who don't know Jesus, I pray that today they receive him as Savior and Lord. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this service from Alice Drive Baptist Church. Alice Drive is one church with two locations. We have a location at the corner of Wise Drive and Loring Mill Road in Sumter. That location has services at 8:30 on Sunday morning, which is a traditional service, two contemporary services, one at 9:45 and one at 11, and then a service on Monday night for people who can't make it on Sunday, and that service is at 7 o'clock. We also have a location called Pocala Church. It meets in Pocala Springs Elementary School on Bethel Church Road in Sumter. That location has two services at 9:45 and 11. I hope we will see you in person very soon. I'm Clay Smith, the lead pastor at Alice Drive Baptist Church in Sumter. Check us out at alicedrive.org. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.